A house is made of wood and stone, but only love can make a home. Welcome to the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, helping you make your home into one you'll love even more. Here are your hosts, Dan Hansen and Betsy Thompson.
Well, happy first Saturday in November, Betsy.
Holy
and everybody
smokes.
Out there.
Smokes.
Yeah, it went fast, didn't it?
Yeah, that means the year's almost over.
I sound so old. I feel so old. I remember when Mom used to say that. Oh, where does time go?
And I know.
Think, oh, Mom. Mm-hmm. You sound so old.
Yeah.
Yeah, now I sound
old,
too.
Yeah, now we're there.
We are, but it's flying.
It is.
It's already November. It's fall back weekend.
Yes.
So I'm giving everybody...
Don't forget to set your clocks back.
Heads up there, yeah. You get that extra hour of sleep.
Yay!
And then the payback is we have to live in darkness.
Then we descend into darkness.
Until spring.
Great.
Oh, well, here we go.
Yeah.
Like that roller coaster ride. We're just going down the big dip and...
Right.
We'll come out of it eventually.
Yeah. Well... And speaking of darkness, there's a great way to come out of it. If you come into our stores and look, a lot of
we have all the lights on.
Yes, we have all the lights
on. During open hours.
But there are cool wallpapers that are usually displayed in our stores. And a lot of people come in and they say, isn't wallpaper like out of style? Wasn't that something from like the 70s?
Yeah, they don't think that it's a current decorating trend.
Right.
Not at all.
Well, the thing is, today we're going to talk about some unique wallpapers and why they are actually a really trendy thing to put up.
We've also got a tool segment planned. And we're going to talk about squares. And yes, maybe that doesn't sound terribly thrilling, but it's cool when you find out all these common tools that we have and we think we understand.
Right.
When you realize that there's all kinds of things that they do that we never even thought about.
Right.
So you're going to want to head to repcolite.com. We've got pictures of the different squares that we're going to be talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to want to follow along as our expert, who we'll announce later, walks us through each one.
Right. And like it or not, winter is right around the corner, and soon the temperatures will be plunging, I guarantee you. And that may also mean that you're looking for an additional heat source for your home. Well, today we're going to talk about some different types of stoves that are going to help keep you warm and save you money when the snow eventually flies.
Yes.
Yes, because it will.
It's coming. But let's talk of happier things right now.
Okay, go ahead.
Let's talk about sporting games outdoors.
Okay.
Sporting games.
Uh-huh.
I don't think that's really the correct way to say that. Sports.
Sports.
Done outside.
Okay.
I don't think that's right. Anyway.
Moving on.
Yes.
Yes.
It was my son's birthday about a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
One of them.
Okay.
And we were reminiscing about the different presents that he's received over the years.
Yeah.
And one of them came to mind, and we all laughed and laughed because it was a hilarious present.
Okay.
It was one of the best. It was a portable basketball hoop.
Okay.
Which doesn't sound hilarious.
Yeah.
Right. But it was funny because of our complete incompetence, which I had no reason to suspect. We're actually quite athletic.
Right. Uh-huh.
It's just that we're really low to the ground. We're good at those low to the ground sports. You know, I thought we would translate, but it didn't translate at all.
Imagine
we cranked that basketball hoop up to regulation height, and I was stunned at how high that rim was. From me. I could have gotten on top of the van with an extension pole and still not touch the rim.
So, Jordan, you are not.
I am not. No. And then I tried to jump because in my mind, you know how... you have no idea what it's like in my mind. Nobody does. But in my mind, I was running around dribbling the basketball and I jumped. And I was going to, you know,
I wasn't going
to slam dunk it. But I was going to get it close enough that I at least could throw it in.
Right.
And I missed.
Okay.
And I got down and the kids were laughing and I saw the neighbor in the window in their house laughing. And I said, "What's so funny?" And they said, "Dad, you jumped so hard." And I said, "Hi?" And they said, "Hard. You jumped hard. Like you used a lot of muscles and you jiggled a lot, but you barely got 2 inches off the ground." Literally.
Uh-huh.
I couldn't jump for anything.
Yeah.
We played all that year.
And you never got better.
We never got better,
mm-hmm.
but we kept playing.
Oh,
and
that's the important thing.
That's the point. That's why I'm telling this whole crazy story.
Okay.
Is because how many times don't we talk to people who come into the store for paint and they're getting the same color that they've used previously
mm-hmm.
or something very similar because they say they're not good at decorating and they just don't know what to pick.
Yeah, we hear
or
that all the time.
You talk to somebody who mentions, "I'm getting touch-up paint for this. I wish I could paint my cabinets, but I'm not a painter.
Right.
I wish I could do my trim, but I'm not a painter.
Yeah.
I just don't want to jump into that project."
Yeah, they just don't have the confidence to do it.
"I'm not a basketball player, and I didn't necessarily get good." So let's not carry this analogy too far.
Right.
"But I had fun, and I tried." And there was such a sense of accomplishment as the year went on.
Right.
When I actually did sink a basket. from time to time.
Well, but that's why we're here at RepColite, is to help give you that confidence to actually tackle these projects and to look at colors outside of your comfort zone. You know, take that baby step to the next level and say, maybe I'll just try this one little color over here where, you know, maybe even in a closet, you know, where you don't
just
have to look
get
at
a
it all
start.
Time. Right. It gets you started in the right direction. It just gives you that little tiny sense of accomplishment to tackle the bigger projects.
Right. We work with color all day long. We can help you with that. We'll also help you jump into projects that you don't feel that right. are really up your alley. Painting right. the trim. We've got the answers to help you figure out all those little questions that you've got.
Right.
You may never look as cool as I do trying to sink a basket. But you can get where you want to go. And
you
again, there's such a sense of accomplishment when you do.
Right.
So jump out and try.
Exactly.
See now, how I said jump?
Yes, I saw that. Now coming up after the break, we're going to talk about stoves. Wood stoves, pellet stoves, gas stoves. Which one's right for you this winter? Find out after the break. Stay tuned.
Helping you turn your house into your dream home. This is the RepColite Home Improvement Show, presented by Benjamin Moore on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
Well, Betsy, one of our very first interviews going back, well, to the very beginning.
So almost 2 years ago.
Yeah, one of the first ones, if I remember mm-hmm. right, was Rob Kukowski from Heritage Fireplace and Design.
Yes.
And it was a ton of fun because he came ready with tons of information.
Oh, yeah. We were both
that?
Blown away. We were like,
He walked in with a folder.
Yeah, and we had no idea what questions to ask. Luckily, we've grown a lot since then, and today we come armed with all kinds of questions. Rob, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me again.
So, Dan and I both grew up with wood stoves or wood burners in our basements to help heat our homes. I mean, you've talked about it before, Dan, that we went down there, you loaded up a bunch of wood, and suddenly mm-hmm. the house is very nice and warm. Funny enough, my parents in the house they're in up north, they're in the position where I think it's time for a new wood stove. They still heat with wood and the fan has gone out. And so my dad is left, you know, he said, well, you know, I've heard about these pellet stoves and I don't know, maybe that's better than the wood burner that I have now. So can you help walk us through the different options when it comes to heating our homes like that and, you know, help us figure out what might be best for us?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's an extremely important question is knowing yourself and what purpose you want this to serve. When, mm-hmm. when you're looking at making an investment in some sort of product, mm-hmm. you really want to know your own personal habits, what the main purpose you want to do this for, and also how is this going to work? How am I going to be able to vent this? Because that may dictate which way you want to go too.
Okay.
There are basically three main categories of product when you're looking at adding a stove product.
Mm-hmm.
You have your gas, you've got your wood, and you've got your pellet. There are some outliers. You've got some corn and some oil and things like that. But a majority of what you're going to see on the market is going to be pellet, gas, and wood.
Okay.
All three have pros, all three have cons, and all three have to be vented differently. So in your case, mm-hmm. what you're looking at is someone who's, and I'm going to assume they're probably up there in years.
Mm.
Oh, ancient. Okay. I mean, so almost.
Well, my
almost
mom says she's going to be 29 forever, so
well, that's impressive.
So. But my dad has split wood for, you know, as long as I can remember, so,
you
he's
know. Probably not as fit as I am, but he's,
right.
he's all right. He's not.
I bet you he swings an axe better than you do. So, yes, you know, obviously they're older than I am, but, you know, they still, he does a fair amount of work.
Because looking at one, location,
mm.
and two, purpose. What type of application is this? Do they have an existing product that they want to replace, you said?
Yeah, they have a stove that they heat with now. You know, it heats the basement and the heat rises, and so they can turn down, because they have propane otherwise, and that is not always cheap.
No, and you're subject to price fluctuation.
Right.
And there's nothing you can do about that.
Yeah.
So having that source of heat is really nice, and you've already got the system vented.
Mm-hmm.
So in an application like yours, there are pros and cons to both pellet and wood.
Okay.
With wood, you've already got the venting.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to switch to pellet, now we have to change the venting on that. So that's something you may want to consider as well.
Okay.
With wood, you know how that works. You know how to split your wood. You know the size of the wood. You want mm-hmm. to make sure it's dry and seasoned.
Yep.
And there's a lot more manual labor that's involved.
Mm-hmm.
But what people don't realize is the sneaky factor of the amount of labor and maintenance that goes into pellet burners. Now, they have their application. Mm-hmm. It's a very controlled heat.
Okay.
You can actually load the hopper and set it and kind of forget it. But the annual maintenance on a pellet burner is much higher than what people usually expect. These things use mobile parts. They have augers. You know, they've got spill switches. All this stuff needs to be maintained. And is it the right product for you? Are you someone who regularly keeps up on maintenance on things like your automobile?
No.
Then this may not be the right product for you. This is something that can break very easily if it's not maintained properly.
Not for me at all.
That's
so
bad.
You also have to store the fuel. You know,
right.
Generally speaking, you're buying these in bulk, these pellets. There's also pellet fuel fluctuation as far as the quality of the burn, what type of heat output you're getting from your fuel. And it's a lot harder to regulate. Now, there's a National Fuel Pellet Institute out there that helps rate things.
Wait a minute. Say that again. There's a national what? There's a national everything.
Yeah, there
a
is.
National what? The
Pellet Fuel Institute. And then what they...
I want to be a professional from there.
It's an attempt to try to regulate it because what goes into pellets and how they burn and the amount of BTUs you're getting out of this depends on what goes into your fuel. And if you don't know what's in that bag, you don't know how your burn is.
Hmm.
You know, so that's one thing they're really trying to put a standardization on in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
So now, if he says, you know what, I love splitting wood, I love swinging an axe, and I've got all this free wood, his fuel's free.
Right.
He's got to buy pellets. He's not just going to make those.
Right.
You know, if he says, you know, I don't like taking things apart and fixing it and cleaning and vacuuming out, pellet may not be the way to go. He's already got the venting there.
Right.
Because you mentioned that. The venting is different. How is that different?
Well, different products allow for different types of venting. So if you're going with pellet burner, the nice thing about that is let's say you're in a basement and you can't vent vertically. You know, you can't do a wood burner. Wood burners have to terminate vertically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if somebody says, you know, I want to heat my basement with wood and I want to put a wood stove down there, well, how are we going to vent this? Because it's got to vent vertically and it's got to terminate 2 feet higher than anything within 10 feet of it. So let's say you got a two-story colonial and you're putting this in the basement. That becomes tricky.
Okay.
And you're going to spend a lot of money on vent pipe, especially
right.
because once you break a barrier, once you penetrate a wall or you go through that floor, now you're into Class A pipe, which is 2,100-degree rated pipe, and it's not cheap.
Okay.
It's a hidden cost to wood burners that people don't see. When they come in and they shop, they see the cost of a stove.
Mm-hmm.
They don't realize that hidden cost on the other end with all the venting materials can be so high depending on the venting application. And that's just something that depends on how it lays out in your house. Now, a pellet burner, we have the flexibility to terminate that horizontally.
Mm-hmm.
So it gives us more flexibility in where we can put this product. So that may come into play as well. The important part is just knowing the pros and cons of each.
All right.
Yep.
So that's wood burner and pellet.
Burner.
You mentioned a third one.
The third one is gas. And right now we're seeing a huge spike in gas products because the price of natural gas is so low.
Mm-hmm.
And it's remained low for a long time. People don't realize that with the clean burning, the flexibility to thermostatically control the heat, it's instant. With wood, you load it up and you burn it. You can dampen it down and control it to a degree.
Mm-hmm.
With gas, it's instantaneous. Basically, you turn it on, it's there. Heats up. You've got fan systems that control it. They now work off smart stat systems. The flame will go up and down in the background to maintain whatever temperature you want it set at. So you've got a tremendous amount of control. It's instantaneous and very low maintenance. So people that tend to be up there in years and just want to flip a switch, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they're lazy, like you. Know,
like you.
Betsy. Oh. Wow, we threw stones at the same time.
I knew that one was coming.
Gas also allows us the same flexibility as it does with pellet. We can terminate that horizontally or vertically.
So what are the cons to gas? Because you mentioned there were pros and cons to everything, but I haven't heard any cons yet.
Well, to gas, it's not a real fire. That's the big one.
Yeah.
You know, there's something to be
said. Feels
like
we're faking it.
Yeah, there's something to be said about having a real fire. Mm-hmm. And wood heat is different than gas heat. It feels different. It's drier. It's got that, you know, that aroma to it. When you walk into a home and you smell that wood burner, there's just something to be said about that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, gas will give you the nice big flames and pretty and convenient, but you lose a little bit of that ambiance.
Right.
You are subject to price fluctuation with gas. You know, if it spikes,
mm-hmm.
that's what you're paying for your fuel, and you don't have a whole lot of say in that, especially if you're on something like propane.
Mm-hmm.
Propane, you're far more subject to price fluctuation. So
right.
with a pellet burner or a wood burner, you kind of get away from that, and you control your own fuel cost. So
okay, I have a quick question. When you were talking about the pellet burner and you have to do all this maintenance and stuff,
mm-hmm.
if someone is not as handy and they think they want a pellet burner anyway. Do people come out and clean pellet burners and do whatever maintenance? Can you hire that out?
Oh, absolutely.
Is there a guild?
there's not a specific pellet burner guild, but there's a tremendous amount of service people out there that can help.
And what does something, do you have a rough idea what something like that cost to have someone come out and maintain a pellet burner?
Generally across the industry, I don't want to speak for other people, mm-hmm. but most people, service calls are going to be somewhere around $100.
Okay.
And then it's going to depend on what they have to do.
And that, how often does that have to be done, that maintenance?
How often are you using it? What type of fuel are you using? Are you vacuuming it out, cleaning the augers? If you're paying someone to do that, it's going to be pretty frequently.
Okay, then. And so factor that into a pellet burner cost.
But you've got the ventilation where it can
right.
be, I mean, especially if you're putting in new. Now, in right. your situation, your parents,
yeah.
they have everything in place for mm-hmm. the wood burner.
Well, and they heard about pellet burners and thought that that might be, you know, the greatest thing ever, because then my dad wouldn't have to split wood, but I'm thinking that that is not the greatest thing
And that is the
ever.
Most important thing, is knowing why you're buying a certain product, or why are you looking into a certain product. There's nothing more important than fitting the right product to the person. Everybody's different. Everybody has a different skill level, different work ethic, you know, mm-hmm. and where they want to be. If you're someone who says, you know what, I don't want to chop wood anymore, I want to do that, then yes. Yeah, pellet burners have definite advantages.
Right.
If you're someone who goes, well, you know, my main cost is keeping the fuel down. I don't want to have to buy pellets. I've got free wood mm-hmm. and I'm willing to do the work.
Right.
It's less maintenance as far as maintaining mechanical parts.
Mm-hmm.
Then yeah, the wood burner's the way to go. If you're someone who goes, nope, switch, then
right.
obviously gas is the way to go.
Right.
So knowing what your own personal habits are, what purpose you want this to serve, and how this is going to be vended all comes into play. And that's the most important thing, is getting the right product for you.
If you had a wood burner before, my grandparents had a wood burner, and I think they went to gas. Did they have to replace the piping
yes.
on that? Okay.
Yeah. All three types of fuel are going to use their own independent types of venting. All three are different.
Okay, so that means that everyone should really be looking into this and not just making a decision. Actually, you know what you're going out there and looking at.
Definitely stop by and talk to somebody who knows what they're doing.
Like Rob.
Rob, how do they best find you? Because you'll do everything from wood stoves, fireplaces, I mean, you name it.
Pellets.
If it burns, you deal with it.
Yeah, and more than anything, we want to be there for people to ask the questions
mm-hmm.
and research. People
right.
don't have a whole lot of knowledge on this, and we want to make sure you get the right product. I understand we can't carry every product that's out there, but if you at least come in and see us, we can tell you what's going to fit you best, or at least walk you through and let you determine what's going to fit you best. So, but you can get in touch with us. You know, you can call us. Our showroom's open Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays to the general public. We are on 29th Street. And you can reach us at 616-949-4466.
We have a brand new store opening up right near you.
Yeah,
yeah.
Just around the
that?
Corner.
I see it all the time. I'm working on it. It looks
no,
great.
It does. It's coming along.
Yeah.
And if we needed a wood burner or a gas burner of any kind, I know where we would go.
We'd just walk around the corner.
Exactly.
And we'll just wheel right back over.
Perfect.
Excellent. Rob, can't thank you enough. Thanks for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
Now, Betsy, if I would tell you that you're looking L7 today, do you know what I'm talking about? Or have I just aged myself, dated myself?
I think you've dated yourself. You might have aged yourself as well.
That's a square, right? L7?
Okay, then.
It is.
Is and that kind of like the big L on your forehead?
Yes.
For a loser?
Yes, it's like the big L on my forehead. And okay. L also is the shape of a very common square, which is the tool that we're going to be talking about in the next segment. Stay tuned.
If you want to take your DIY skills up a rung, the RepcoLite Home Improvement Show is here to give you a boost on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
Just so you know, Betsy, I am still a little wounded from the last little dig that you made at the end of the last segment. I was
the
trying to be funny
one.
About the shape of the square, the tool square being an L, and you referred to an L on my forehead. Do you know that when I did that little L thing, you know
uh-huh.
how people do that?
Yeah, yeah.
L, I always use the wrong hand. And somebody had to tell me, you know, you're making the L backwards from my point of view. I think that just reinforces the loser thing.
Yes, I would definitely say so.
Well, right now, let's just move on. We're going to talk about squares, which sounds terribly exciting, I know.
Well,
but there is a lot that we don't know. And so
yeah.
we brought in an expert Mike Zamarin from Home Repair Services of Grand Rapids to walk us through it.
Mm-hmm.
Mike, thanks for being here.
Hey, thank you very much. Appreciate you having me.
Well, we're happy to have you because we've decided that you're our go-to tool expert.
Yes, sir.
We did a segment a while back on hammers, and now today we want to dig into something else, another tool. And we're just going to explore all the different options out there because there are a ton of them when it comes to squares.
Oh,
a lot of different types. So I'm going to turn the mics over. And we'll interject like normal.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you.
Thanks for being here.
There are a lot of different squares out there, like you said. And you know, contractors are very familiar with all of them. Carpenters are very familiar with all of them. But for, you know, the homeowner that wants to use a square once in a while, it's good to have some ideas on what each one would be called and used for. So I'm going to start with a framing square. Framing square is that large L-shaped square. It's about usually 16 inches by 24 inches. They do make smaller versions, and you can do a lot of things with that square, but really what I think a homeowner would use that for is for laying out a set of stairs, mm-hmm. stair steps. Mm-hmm. You know, typical rise is 7 inches, and the tread is 11 inches, and, you know, there's some that can vary a little bit. So you use that square. There are some stair stop little gauges or that you just clamp onto the side of the square at 7 and 11, and you line it up on the edge of a board, and you can trace it out, and then just keep moving up.
Yeah, you brought that with you. I'd never seen those little stops before, and it really is pretty slick.
Yeah.
So makes the whole thing even something Betsy could accomplish, don't you think?
Yes.
Yes, of course.
I don't know.
Not sure if I could do it. Maybe if I watched you do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Contractors will use it for a variety of different things.
Yes, absolutely.
But for a homeowner, generally, maybe stair treads, maybe checking right angles.
Yeah, check a right angle. You want to draw a right angle. You want to scribe a line and cut something off. Again, squares, it's like they have overlapping uses. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to make a line to see if something is straight. You want to put it, an example, say you're checking the squareness of a picture frame or a door or something. So you put it, because it's a large square, you put it on the corner and see, you know, hey, is it square? Is it touching good? Is it flush?
Mm-hmm.
It's really helpful. Stick it up in a door jamb to see if the door jamb is square.
It's very important that it actually is square, though, I would assume. My dad had one that was not, and we had a variety of interesting experiences using that.
Yeah. I actually have a square I took my hammer to a few times, and it ended up being more of a prying tool than a square. And the same thing happened to it. But I can tell you, a real quick way to check for a square is if you have a framing square, you can take any other square and set on the inside of it, and it's going to tell you if it's square. If that, you know, mm-hmm. because the framing square
really would have been smart had we done that that old square dad had.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And on a larger part, you know, if you want to check your framing square, there's a carpenter's measurement here of 6/8/10. If you measure 6 inches over on one blade, 8 inches over on the other blade or wall, whatever you're squaring, and then it will be 10 inches from point A to point B.
Okay.
Oh.
So 6 inches, 8 inches, and it's 10 across. Or if you want to, if you're squaring out a room, it's the same thing, except you go to feet.
Mm-hmm.
6 feet on one wall, 8 feet on another wall, and it should be 10 from point A to point B.
All right. There's a good little trick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I bet you didn't know that, Betsy.
I did not know that.
I was going to tell you, but I figured that might
be. Yeah.
Like sure.
Feel smart. So we got a framing square.
Yes, that's
you got
framing
a whole
square.
Bunch of other squares.
Yes,
here.
There is the tri-square. The tri-square is just kind of just like another L-shape. It has a...
Tri is in T-R-Y,
yes.
Not T-R-I.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the kind of square you try to use.
Well...
Sometimes it doesn't work.
Yeah, I'm not the one who named it, but, you know, it's really used in general for if you want to make a, you know, just a square straight line across the board. You know, you pull it out of the tool pouch or apron or whatever, and you make a straight line and you cut that line. You know, that's what it's for.
It's basically a wooden handle.
Yes, wooden handles or wooden handles, plastic handles, metal handles. It has a, you know, the handle part of it is thicker. It's probably three-quarters inch thick or so, and then just a blade coming out of the top edge of it. And it's about 6 inches by 8 inches. And they're handy, very, very mm-hmm. handy. So that'll establish that straight line. Then we can move into the combination square. The combination square is the one that it has a it has a sliding ruler on it. So it's a 12-inch ruler. It has a handle or a shoulder is what they call it, and it has a nut on it that'll tighten up so you can slide it. So you can see that you can cut off a 90 on there, use it just like the other all the other squares, and it has another angled part. And if you switch that around, you're cutting a 45-degree angle. And there's usually a pull-out little pin, if you don't have your pencil on you, that you can use to scribe your line with this. And it also has another feature, which is a built-in leveling vial. So if you want to check to see if something is level, you can use that vial to check that. So that's a very, very handy tool. This is one of the ones you definitely want to have in your toolbox.
Now I see why it's called a combination square, because it does so many things.
Yeah. Absolutely.
See, Betsy, you're catching up with me.
I know.
Soon you'll be as smart as I am.
I don't know. Did you know why it was called the combination square?
Oh, my goodness. I had no idea.
It's not even winter yet, and you're standing on thin ice, man.
I spend my life on thin ice. I'm fearless.
Oh, that's all right.
Occasionally, he falls through.
Yeah. Make sure you get that on video.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and then we can move to the bevel square, or the sliding bevel square, which is, we've all seen this, and we're like, what is that? So it's got a blade that folds into the handle with a wing nut on it. And this is really used for if you want to find out what an angle is. Just say you take a piece of trim off. You don't know what the angle is. This is awesome because you just fold that to the angle and tighten the wing nut back down, and that's the angle you need. And then you can take that and trace it right onto another board or another piece of trim. And so it's for finding the angle.
Mm-hmm. It's not going to tell you what the angle is.
No, there are no markings on it.
It's just going to help you duplicate that exact cut.
You got it. Slide it right over the end of the board and, again, fold the blade down and tighten up the wing nut, and there you got it. Be awesome to be able to have some hands on and doing this one.
It would be
fun. Get the saw out.
Yeah. Ooh.
And the Band-Aids.
Yeah. I was going to say, everyone can use the saw except you.
I'll just watch.
Yeah. All right. What's the last one you've got?
And the last one we got here is it's my go-to. Again, all these squares, they overlap and they all do a lot of the same things. But the speed square. The speed square is kind of like a triangular shape, and it has a shoulder, and it has a lot of markings on it, but you can do the same thing. Bump it up against the side of the board and drag your straight line across there. But then one of the most common things that I use it for even is across the bottom it has degrees. So if I'm going to cut a 45 degree, all I do is I pivot it down to where 45 is on the edge of the board and scribe my line, or a 22.5 or a 50. It's whatever degree you have.
All right, so there's a pivot point.
Yes.
On the front top corner.
That's, yep, there is.
And yeah, you just twist it until you get to the point where you've hit that measurement you want, that angle.
You got it.
And you scribe the line.
Yep.
Now, you also mentioned earlier, and I've seen people use this as a cutting guide.
Yes, absolutely.
Almost as a fence.
Yep. Yeah, so, and I do that. If I'm going to put a line on there, and that's where I'm going to cut it off, I set the skill saw where I need it to be, and I slide the square over to touch the edge of the skill saw base, and then cut across there. And it helps me get a nice straight cut across that board. No wandering that way.
Mm-hmm. I wander a lot.
Yeah, I've seen the way you cut things. Yeah,
just leave the wandering to travel, okay?
I will.
Yeah.
So if you had to, pick a couple of these.
Oh, my.
For homeowners who don't have any of these, what's going to be the most beneficial to pick up?
I would say that the combination square, and this is something that can vary for everyone, really, because, this angled square, or the sliding bevel square, that one, it has its own unique use. Mm-hmm. So I would go with the combination square, and actually the framing square, which is the larger one. You can do anything with those two.
Well, Mike, now you're from Home Repair Services in Grand Rapids, and Repco Light is excited to be hosting an event coming up Wednesday, November 7th, Color and Design. It's going to be very cool. And the proceeds from the ticket sales are being donated to your organization. Why don't you just tell our listeners what exactly you guys do?
Well, first, we say we're very grateful for what Repco Light does to help Home Repair Services. But Home Repair Services, in a nutshell, is about bringing different kinds of resources together to help some of our vulnerable and folks who have need, And that's half of it. And the other half is to, just as you do, you try to empower folks with knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And knowledge is power, so we want to share how to do things so that we can do those things to our homes and keep them up and make take what we have and make it better.
Yeah, so you guys have all of those great free classes open to anyone. I've heard you guys have had people from like Illinois and Ohio and crazy
Absolutely.
Places like that.
Yeah.
Crazy,
yeah.
like
yeah.
Illinois. Yeah.
Well, that's a little ways to drive for our class to learn how to yeah. tile your yeah. floor, yeah. so I'm just
yeah.
saying.
Yeah, someone came up from Ohio three weeks in a row, actually, because they heard about the class and it's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe these exist. But yes,
right.
they're free classes every Saturday at 10 o'clock, unless it's a holiday weekend. There's a class schedule on our website, homerepairservices.org, and our Facebook. You got to check that out because there's a lot of good information there.
Find that information online, that website once again.
homerepairservices.org.
See, I knew he'd say it better than I would.
Uh-huh.
I didn't want to stumble through it.
Yep.
Mike, thanks for being here.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Now, if I say the term wallpaper, do you immediately think of grandma's house? Well, you shouldn't. I'll tell you why when we come back. Stay tuned.
If you want to take your DIY skills up a rung, the RepcoLite Home Improvement Show is here to give you a boost on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
Well, welcome back, everybody. I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson.
And we're here to talk about wallpaper.
I can see how
really
bored
exciting.
You are already.
Well, I'm sure it'll be great.
See, the thing you don't understand is I, a long time ago, started a Pinterest board called Not Your Grandma's Wallpaper. And I have all kinds of really cool things up there. You would not believe the number of repins I get. There are a handful of wallpapers that people just gravitate towards. They can't believe it's wallpaper.
So a repin means that this is cool? Is that what Pinterest?
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. It means
just
people
kinda tipped
see
my
it.
Hand on my understanding of Pinterest.
Yes, you did.
Okay.
Yeah, people see it and they think, wow, that's really cool. You know, maybe I'd like to use
Unless
it or
Unless they're
save
putting
the
it
idea.
On, boy, I'll never do this in my home board.
I'm guessing they're not doing that because you can see what board they pin it
okay.
to.
Okay, so it's cool
anyway,
stuff. They like it.
It is cool stuff because when people think of wallpaper, a lot of times, even now, they think, you know, it's plaids, it's these boring country prints, it's small little tiny prints that, you know,
or it's like
grandma
the stuff
had.
In hospitals.
Yeah, kind of the sterile looking,
yeah.
dreary, terrible wallpaper. Yes, let me tell you, wallpaper is not like that anymore. It can so dramatically change a space and make it a complete one of a kind. It is not at all what it used to be. It really has evolved in the past, 10, 15 years or so.
Now, I guess I wouldn't really know what to say to that, except
uh-huh.
for the fact that we have been getting ready for this color and design event.
Yep.
And we brought in a whole bunch of different wallpapers to display and,
yeah.
and use in some of the things that we're creating, the vignettes.
Yep.
And actually, this stuff is really, really cool. There's a couple
yeah.
of them that I just look at because I can't really wrap my brain around exactly what they are. I know we're going to get to them in a little bit. They're
yeah.
very cool things.
They are. Well, I spent few hours recently perusing some of the brand new books that we've got with Jerry from our 17th Street store. You know, Jerry has seen wallpaper come and go, all different styles, and she said, oh, here, you got to check out these cool new books that we had. Some of the papers, holy smokes, absolutely stunning. We ordered some and I showed them to you and you were absolutely blown away, but there are ones out there that are all sparkly and have beads and textures to them. And
sounds exactly
flock.
Like something I want all over my walls.
Well, maybe you don't, but there
it
are other people.
Sounds gaudy, but it's really not. It was very
no.
cool.
Well, it's
again,
very
it's not necessarily my thing, but it was way cooler than it sounds.
Well, it's very elegant, and it just gives the wall that little extra something. You know, it just bends light a little bit differently. And, you know, we do love our paint in this industry. But let's face it, there are some things that wallpaper can do that paint just can't. You're not going to get that kind of a texture or that kind of a difference out of paint that you are out of this wallpaper. Now, you know, for the purposes of what we were doing, you know, we're talking a little bit about Frank Lloyd Wright at this color and design event. So we were looking for some natural looking wallpapers.
Right. Stone, wood,
yeah.
different textures like that.
Right. So to get that feel, we went through a couple texture books and things like that. And there was this great vinyl paper by Tebow. It's a brand new book for them. And it has this wood look. It's a vinyl paper, but there's actually a texture to it. If you run your hand over that paper,
you get splinters.
Almost.
Psychological splinters. It's like you have splinters. It
yeah.
is that real. It's really, really cool stuff.
Well, a couple years ago for a Christmas display that I was doing in the window, you made me a fake fireplace and it, you know, looked
Which
all cool.
It was fantastic,
it,
let me say.
It was fantastic.
A marvel of modern engineering
well,
with styrofoam.
Yes, it was. What people didn't realize, they would look at the mantle, and I had wrapped it with that wallpaper, and everyone thought that
like
it was
a wooden beam from a barn.
Yes, that's how real this wallpaper is. There's actual dimension to it. It comes in a variety of colors. It's going to wash up remarkably well because it is a heavy-duty vinyl. It is a fantastic paper, a great alternative to some real wood. Now, another one. I know you liked this one.
Yeah, this is the one I mentioned earlier, or alluded to.
Right. There's a WallQuest book. It's called 3D, and all the papers in it are really 3D papers. I mean, the one that we ended up going with was a stone, and if you...
Like a stacked stone kind of a look?
Yeah, that's really popular right now. If you step back, people really think that it's stone.
It's bizarre because, it doesn't look 3D like fuzzy or blurry.
Right.
You know how 3D can look.
It's not books that
right.
kids,
you don't need to wear the glasses to see.
Or you don't have to do the magic eye, cross your eyes thing. Yeah.
But when you step back, it literally looks like the stone is coming off of the surface. It looks like there's elements of height and all these different variations. When it's just completely flat.
I've had a number of people walk up and touch it. You know, just as I'm working on hanging it, they touch, oh, that's paper. That's not real.
It's so neat.
Yeah. Another really great paper in that same book is Exposed Brick. And we actually have that in our adjoining studio. We hung it. And people think it's the real brick.
Right. We're in a building that's full of exposed brick.
Right. And they think it's natural to the building. I'm like, no, it's just
an interior room with drywall and this wallpaper on it.
Yeah, there's also some really cool, you know, like metal looks that has rivets and things like that. So depending on what kind of look you want or where you're going to put it, these are great options. It is not your grandma's wallpaper, you know. Be creative with it.
That's the thing. That's what makes this so fun, is that there are all kinds of different places that you could use this.
Yeah.
You don't have to drop boatloads of money to get wallpaper and cover every single wall in your home. That's not what we're talking about.
No.
But use it creatively. Mm-hmm. Use it strategically on a single wall.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a great place like bringing in that wood texture paper or the stacked stone. I was even thinking that metal look could be perfect in a garage workshop or something like that. Yep. On the pegboard, you'd have to pop all the holes in the pegboard
again. Yeah, but how cool would that look?
It would look so cool, though.
Right.
And again, at that point, you're only buying a double roll. The expense is minimal for what you're getting out of it. Because again, like we mentioned, you can do a wall of paint, like an accent wall of paint.
Yeah.
And that's great. But wallpaper is going to give you an entirely different look that you won't achieve simply with paint.
Right. Now, we have wallpaper at most of our locations. There are two locations in Holland that have it, our Plainfield Avenue store, our Fulton Street store, and coming soon, opening in the next couple of weeks, our Broadmoor store. It's brand new out there, so make sure you head out there and check that out.
And one of the things that we wanted to mention before we wrap this whole show up, since we're talking about wallpaper, one of our wallpaper companies has given us 6 double rolls to give away at our Color and Design event that we've been harping on for a long time.
Yes.
It's coming up November 7, and we're giving away these 6 double rolls. You can pick any Brewster or WallQuest paper, and that includes that 3D book that we talked about. And you can win that for free. We're going to raffle that off at the event. So we'd love to see you there. It's a huge prize. You can still get tickets. They're rapidly disappearing, but there still are some left.
There's a few left, but not many at this point.
Yep, you can get them online at repcolite.com, and all the proceeds will benefit Home Repair Services, who we just talked to in the previous segment.
Yes, we did.
And that's it, Betsy. That's all the time we've got. You can find past episodes online at repcolite.com. Check them out.
Right, and be sure to follow us on Facebook, because we will have pictures from the upcoming Color and Design event. So if you can't be there, at least check the photos out.
Right. I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson. Remember, if you're about to lose your DIY sanity, we can help you fix that crazy.
And we'll help you make sure that you have the right stove when the snow finally does fly.
Yes, because you do know it's coming.
Very, very soon.
Yeah. Yes.
Thanks for listening.